Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. Coming up on the big show today, Edwin McCain plus cat-proof Christmas trees. Coming up in just a minute.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
I will always have a complicated relationship with this game, but people evolve. So do sports. Do not make me regret this. Do not make me devolve back to that guy that so many clones wish that I still was. And do not embarrass the entire country. Now, I can go back. I can get there fast. Lose tonight, and you got a real problem. Do not blow it.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
You've been warned.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Dick Mango. Grandma got molested at the airport.
Thank you.
Flying home to our house Christmas Day. The perpetrator wasn't any pervert. He was an agent with the TSA. Grandma checked it at the airport. She thought everything was fine. Until she went through security, and an agent said, please step out of the line.
Thank you.
Then he put his rubber gloves on, and Grandma's heart began to race. When he finished his inspection, you couldn't wipe the smile off Grandma's face. Grandma got molested at the airport.
Everybody
flying home to our house Christmas Day. The perpetrator wasn't any pervert. He was an agent with the TSA.
Now Grandma's always at the airport, but she ain't flying anywhere. She just wants another pat down. And this time she ain't wearing underwear. So this Christmas, if you're looking for some action, maybe a quick romantic rendezvous, just stop by your nearest airport and ask the TSA agent if he'll fondle you.
Grandma got molested at the airport. Flying home to our house Christmas Day.
Everybody!
The perpetrator wasn't any pervert. He was an agent with the TSA.
Thank you! My name is Dick Mango! Merry Christmas!
Miss something? Here you go. We'll try to catch you up. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
And now we have to behave. We have a guest in the studio.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
Edwin, are you a meat eater?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I'm going to send you a case of Omaha steaks.
Right on.
Yeah. But every Christmas, this is one of my favorite gifts because, like, my brothers, for example, live in different places than I do by choice. And but I'll send them steaks. But the trick is you got to make sure they're home.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah. Hey, John, are you going to be in Florida? Are you going to be in Michigan? What? I want to send them because the steaks, they last a while, but they're not going to last
forever on the porch.
Yeah. Some drunken raccoon is going to show up and run off with them.
Yeah.
So I'll find out what your schedule is. And are you doing some road work or are you just hanging out?
So I went up to Chicago a couple of nights ago to do a benefit for the Concussion Foundation.
Oh, cool.
And we did it at Billy Corgan's place in Highland Park. And I exercised my superpower of embarrassing myself in front of extremely famous people. It's like my superpower is I can say the exact wrong thing in front of famous people. And Billy Corgan has now joined the list.
Oh, yeah.
Of someone I've completely said something stupid in front of. So,
wow.
Sorry, Billy.
Can you repeat it?
Yeah. Well, no, he was just being nice. He didn't know who I was. He came there after I had played or whatever. And so he was totally being nice. I was leaving. I was saying thank you. And he literally was like, yeah, I heard a lot of good things about your guitar playing, which tells me he doesn't know anything about me. Because no one's ever said anything nice about my guitar playing. And all I had to say was, thanks, man, and just leave. not this guy.
I was like, well, I'm actually known as more of a singer.
and then there was this pregnant pause where he's just staring at me and I'm just staring at him. And I was like, okay, I'll see you later. And I now add that to the list of the things that while I'm brushing my teeth in the morning, staring in the mirror, and I have to go, oh, God, you said that. Ah.
It's amazing. Those cringe moments. I'll remember them from 40 years ago.
Yeah, we all have them.
But now, you know, I'm just like, who's next? Who's going to be next? Somebody here in this room today, I feel, probably.
Good. Yeah. We'll look forward to it. Yeah. Edwin McCain is a distinguished singer-songwriter. If you're not familiar with his work, number one song a few years back, which is, I think, more than Billy Corgan can say.
No, it was probably, I think it was three. It was four, three or four. You know who would know is my middle son, because he doesn't let me get by with any fibbing.
Oh, really?
No. He actually ran into my room. He's like, hey, you know how your song was like the longest running in the Hot 100? Just got beat.
Hey, thanks.
Like, yeah, they got like a tab open or something on his computer. I was like, thanks, buddy. Yeah.
Like
that.
A Google search.
Yeah.
When you drop from one to two. That's I'll Be, very famous song. Did Billy Corgan and the Smashing Pumpkins have a number one?
I'm sure.
I imagine.
I would have to say, like, without fear of contradiction, that he was probably as culturally significant as an artist in the 90s as anyone, right? And so he just came off of, like, a three-night run at one of the opera houses in Chicago where they did 100 pieces, 100-piece orchestra and opera, and they all of his music.
That's cool.
And it was sold out for 3 nights.
I just read
that. Yeah, if they don't have a number one, they at least have 15,
yeah,
no two, kidding. Threes, and
yeah,
fours.
Right.
I just read that the Smashing Pumpkins band name, I always thought it was, hey, that's, you know, funny from, you know, Halloween Smashing
Pumpkins.
Apparently he says, no, it's, he was over in England and someone said, oh, that's a Smashing Pumpkin, yeah, which takes all the fun out of it.
What?
Corgan will occasionally take all the fun out of things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's very serious. I've seen plenty of interviews.
Okay,
yeah.
Really?
I saw he's actually kind of experiencing a bit of a reckoning because he said that part of that, him sort of being prickly, was their inside joke and him kind of pulling an Andy Kaufman on people. But now he's got this reputation for being, and he's not really like this. He's a lovely, lovely guy.
Oh,
and
good.
But he's had to kind of backtrack that a little bit. And I totally get that because we used to do stupid stuff like that in our 20s. Like, everybody in the band would give me a word that I had to work into an interview. And it would be ridiculous. Like, I'd be in the, but it couldn't be non sequitur. It had to go with the flow. And it was in, and if I didn't get their word in, I owed them $20. Okay. And so, yeah, there were a lot of times where I'm sure people were like, what is up with this guy? Why is he comparing his music to a washing machine?
And what is dildography?
Yeah.
Why did he mention yogurt?
What is dildography? If you have to do with songwriting, the man I was tearing up during his tune. But let's move over to the news desk, the Cadillac Insurance News Desk with Christy Lee. See what's going on, then we'll get a song if we can out of Mr. McCain. What have you got?
It's the holidays, and we're all gearing up for Christmas. We have a couple of Christmas stories for you today. If you have a cat that's attacking your Christmas tree, there is a British company out there selling the so-called cat-proof Christmas tree. Argo's half tree only features the top half of an artificial Christmas tree, which the company said is perfect for keeping baubles, bows, and bells out of reach of curious crawling kids or your cat's playful paws. Now, we all know cats can jump into a tree, so I don't know how this is going to prevent
a
cat.
It's just the upper half of the tree, sort of, and then there's essentially a pole.
Yeah. They added that the 6-foot-tall tree also provides plenty of room to stack presents underneath. That'll look ridiculous.
Okay. So you could make one of these.
Yeah, just don't put your tree.
Put the tree up, and then just take some cut a cutting tool and cut off the bottom half of the tree.
Right.
It's going to look ridiculous. Do we have a photograph of this thing?
If your cat wants to get at the ornaments, it will.
That's right. Yeah. It'll jump right up there. I mean,
you're almost better off having them at the bottom so you can just bat them off and that's it.
And they don't knock your whole
There's
tree.
One.
Oh, look at that.
I mean, kind of silly. Brown Christmas tree.
They got stacks and stacks of presents. Now the cat will just climb up there. And
it doesn't look terrible. You guys think it looks terrible?
Yeah, I do.
It doesn't look terrible, but it looks silly.
It kind of works.
It's almost like a Christmas tree palm tree.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's a good point. Or a stripper pole Christmas tree.
Dude, I mean, they could do that at strip clubs.
Every time I see something like this, I think there was like a, you know, there was a meeting. There was a meeting. There was a people around a table and somebody went, you know, I have an idea. And they all went, yes.
What's that set you back? Do we know the price point on that thing?
It was not expensive. Oh.
Okay.
It better be a third of a Christmas tree. Yeah.
A Christmas tree farm in New Jersey is making news. They're under fire for spray painting fir trees. Wyckoff's Christmas tree calls itself New Jersey's original colored tree farm. They offer trees in 9 different shades. Pink, purple, dark blue, light blue, blue turquoise, magenta, red, and black.
And these are real trees, by the way.
Yeah.
They're not fake trees.
While it may be the 12-time winner of the New Jersey Christmas Tree Growers Association's Grand Champion Award, not everyone is a fan of this rainbow grove. According to the New York Post, one social media user complained that the farm is spraying poison everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, don't poison the trees. We're going to cut down.
There's a photograph. They're very odd looking.
Come over here, Sizzle Nick. I got blue, magenta, purple.
I call this one Spruce Springsteen. He's from Jersey, you know. God.
I think they look cool.
I do look kind of cool. I have to admit. I mean, if you do the...
I'm from Hoboken. I gave my tree a spray tan.
If you do the themed Christmas tree deal, it's perfect.
Have you ever thought that your Christmas tree wasn't quite flammable enough?
What is that? Flocking is the...
Yeah, flocking is when you just spray that white stuff on it so it looks like snow.
So what's the trick to that? Do you have to do that before you put the ornaments on it?
I think so. Yeah.
Otherwise, whatever happened to tinsel?
Or you're flocking your...
Yeah, I know. That's gone. Sort of.
Yeah, you ever notice that?
You know why? You know why tinsel is gone? Do you have a dog?
It did suck. Yeah.
If you have a dog and your dog eats tinsel, I have been there.
Yeah.
If your dog will eat the tinsel, and then about a day later, you're doing this surgical procedure where you're...
My mother. Did your mother or your father spend hours putting those little icicles on the tree every year?
My mom would get furious if you didn't do them one at a time.
Yes. I hate it.
The little bubble lights.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have those.
They got to be the temperature of the sun.
Yeah. I have one of those night lights, the bubble light night light. I love it. I love it.
If your dog eats the... Well, same thing is true. You want sidewalk chalk.
Yeah.
Your dog eats the sidewalk chalk, and then a couple of days later, you've got these rainbow turds all over you. But yeah, I recall this sort of dangling thing from a golden retriever dangling by a little bit of silver.
Oh.
Yeah, we no longer do the...
I don't know any... I haven't seen a tree with... I called them icicles.
Yeah,
because
we do too,
tinsel to me, you could still wrap. You know that.
I haven't seen one since I was a kid.
I think it's gone out of fashion.
Yeah, I think so.
The tinsel king of Hoboken.
How about
what happened? I don't have any more.
How about popcorn string? Is that being done?
I've never actually seen it.
I have never seen that either.
We did
that.
Actually, I take that back. We did it in elementary school once.
Huge mistake.
It was like all day we had to do it.
And everybody either, they made us do it with cranberries. And you end up like with holes all in your hands.
Yeah.
Using these giant sewing needles.
The next year we ended up doing it. Green and red construction paper strips we had to glue into rings.
Yeah, we did those. Yeah. Yes.
So monotonous.
Very labor intensive.
I love telling my children stories like this because they just they look at me like we were suffering abuse. You know, like they had us locked in a cave making popcorn strips.
Oh, I wanted to do the popcorn thing.
You did?
That was, I mean, when I was a kid, we did it one time, and it was.
Doesn't the popcorn fall apart?
Yeah, it smelled awful, and it was
such rotting after day four.
Yeah. So
younger brother would eat one and get sick.
Now, are you doing? We have a real tree in the living room. Then we've got a bunch of fake ones in other places. But do you have a real tree or a fake one?
Not anymore. So we had real trees for a while, and then one year my wife got this great idea that we should go out to our farm and cut a tree down and do it like super old school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the tree the kids picked was a cedar tree. And I don't know if you've ever been around a cedar tree. You might as well just go over to a briar bush and cut down a briar bush because you're going to be cut up and bloody because cedar trees are gnarly. And the kids called that tree the big prick.
I did that.
After that, we've had a fake tree ever since.
I did that once, and it was freezing cold. And you have to lie down under the tree, and they give you a relatively dull saw. And what I didn't think of was all the stuff falling into my eyes from the tree. So, and it gets it, that saw's getting all gum up from the sap. And yeah, that was that's a one time only.
It was a fun family thing to do once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I still have real trees. I've been going to the same tree place for, I don't know, 30 plus years, whatever. But I like having the real tree.
Yeah.
And then just before we go on our trip, the thing is crispy and ready to come down.
And somebody takes it down for you while you're on vacation. That's a nice thing to have.
I've taken it down on vacation.
Christy.
I have help.
A little shade there. Yeah. Yeah.
I think next year we're going to do a real tree. My husband's real into that. We have a space we can put one.
But it is a great family event. Yeah. But I'm sure the now that I think about it, my youngest, they don't even remember it. They were so little. They were sitting in the snowmobile, freezing while I'm on the ground. This is a great idea. This is a tradition we're going to do forever. But I like to support the tree farm. So if you're going to do that, I'm just saying, take your swimming goggles and a face mask,
an electric chainsaw.
Oh, I mean, what other goggles do I have?
Safety goggles.
No, but then it's going to fly in from the sides. The swimming goggles at least to protect your eyes and put a face mask. Right.
Where are your swimming goggles?
Yeah. You do you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to look ridiculous with a face mask on and swimming goggles lying down in the snow.
You need to wear the Speedo
with a crappy saw that won't cut through as you're cursing.
Why don't you bring your own saw?
Yeah.
I didn't think to. I thought it was part of the deal. Here's $200. Now you're going to drag me out there in a tractor to freeze to death. Mm. But I highly recommend it. It was fun.
It sounds great.
I want to encourage people to support all the Christmas tree farmers.
Yeah, of course.
It's a fun thing as opposed to the, you know, factory in Japan where there's a river full of some kind of toxic waste, so you can have a nice holiday. Pre-lit tree.
Oh my gosh, I love my pre-lit tree.
I'm just saying, I'm sure there's many, many kids out there that have an extra finger because...
Yeah, but they're in Japan. We don't have to look at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That just helps the mitten makers.
Do you suppose they wonder, like, what the hell they're doing in these factories in China?
I don't know.
Like, why are we doing this?
I like to think there are TVs everywhere showing us enjoying the products they're making.
How about the places where they make those adult toys? That's got to be.
Hopefully they don't have children doing it.
Hopefully.
Well, there's probably a direct correlation to how much they wonder to how many of those big nets on the outside of the building there are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And while we're doing the size 10 scrotums today, I'm not coming in.
Yeah.
I told Mondor I will not do the size 10s this year. That's on him. Okay, well, we have a guest in the studio who's very talented, but we're not letting him do anything. He's Edwin McCain. Are you touring at all this winter?
I don't think so.
But you have a Christmas album, don't you?
Yeah, this has been the running joke. So this album, I did this in like 2009 or something, and it was universally rejected by every record label in the country. And so it sat on a hard drive in a drawer for years. And then a few years ago, I was like, don't we have a Christmas album somewhere? And I dug it out and I kind of dig it. And it was like, there's some really great players on it. And we kind of did this New Orleans kind of thing for Christmas record. But even my friends don't like it. And I like it. And so it's kind of become this thing. It's like my little misfit toy of a Christmas record. Like,
yeah.
like 80% of the people that I know that like my music hate this record. And so it makes it even better for me. I just, and now it's a running joke because my daughter loves
Michael Bublé's Christmas album.
Yeah, I got to side with her on that. That's a pretty good one.
But is it traditional Christmas songs, or do you have any originals?
Yeah, it's all Christmas songs. Well, there's one original that my guitar player Larry wrote, and then the rest of them are just standard Christmas songs. But it was, you know, Ivan Neville's on there, and Eddie Bears is playing drums, and it's a funky Christmas album.
Maybe we'll get
album.
You to play one of them.
Well, I don't.
Jason,
put one up. Pot up Frosty. Frosty's a good one.
Is that Frosty's the traditional Frosty the Snowman?
Yeah, but it's funky.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Send us the MPEG.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll get a plate.
I can send you the 2-inch reel. With all the grease pencil notes on it.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
The place where I, Megan Klingenberg, a World Cup expert, teaches you everything that you need to know for this summer's World Cup.
How special is it that we've been able to follow this young group of guys?
It's been such a roller coaster of emotions.
You can feel the intensity.
Quite a bit of time, energy, effort, everything along the way on these guys making the country proud. And I think they will this summer.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast, presented by Henkel. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.